Hi, my name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not. It's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkir's Wrap-Up. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Malkir's Wrap-Up. This is going to be the penultimate episode for the year. I lucked out. The pattern was weaving for me tonight because I think I booked this in, I feel like 2 months ago or something crazy like that. And it just turns out that this coincided with a very, very important event. And I have two glorious friends with me tonight. So please welcome to the recording. We have Jessica Sadai and Random Noman, otherwise known as Dan. How are we doing, folks?
I'm doing great, Rob. Good to see you.
To see you too. I'm doing good. I'm glad. I'm excited for this. Like I say, Jess, I think I organized with you. It's got to be a couple of months ago.
Yeah, at least. Which, funnily enough, somebody else was doing some organizing as well. So, and those timelines just happened to coincide.
That they did. Folks, it's going to be a very romantic, very mushy, probably a little tearful in places, like recording tonight. So, you know, I hope you're ready just to feel cozy and loved. Because
did you use content warning for us?
Yes. Yeah. Content warning for love, folks. Because Dan and Jess did something yesterday, and then Jess messaged me today. I'm being very cryptic about it. Like, folks, if you don't know, you're missing out. But, you know, you will find out. Jess, you messaged me and was like, did you know when you booked the recording that Dan was doing this? I was like, well, not when I booked the recording, but I did know about it before yesterday.
Which is fine.
So why don't the two of you tell us what happened yesterday?
Well, I think Daniel should say, because it was a lot of work on his part.
Yes. I asked Jessica to marry me, and she said yes. Yes. The nervousness and all the energy is gone. But before I get going with everything, there were a lot of people in the circle, including Rob, that were supportive to me and helpful to me. And I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of them tonight, but just right off the bat, thank you to everybody. This fandom is always amazing, but it never ceases to maze. And it's always something, like, everybody always goes that extra mile for everybody else. And this time they did it for me and for Jessica. And so we appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, much deserved, the two of you. Like, You're awesome people individually, and you're an awesome couple together. So, you know, I'm just so glad that you two, like, are tying the knots. And I mean, there's a lot of parties happening next year as a result of this.
Yes. So,
yes, we did it for the fandom, really.
Yes.
That's who we are.
That's who we are as people.
just sharing the squee out. So yes. I love it. So, before, like I said, folks, this is going to be a very mushy recording. Before we talk about the actual proposal, like, tell us how you two, like, met, like, how you became the wonderful, beautiful couple that you are.
Our origin story is Critters Discord. So I'm someone that didn't find the fandom until the show came out. And we wound up... That's Coco making herself. We wound up talking a lot on Critters Discord specifically. And Daniel, I think he would agree that he was there, but he wasn't necessarily, it's kind of a quieter member of some of the parts of the community where we would interact with each other. So he was there. He just wasn't quite as vocal. He was kind of a little bit of a wallflower. And then we got to talking, and we met in person for the first time at the first WattCon 2022. And after that, we decided to see if we would like to date each other. And so we started as a long distance relationship and then have moved in together and now to fiancés. Did I answer the question? I blacked out halfway through.
Well, I think one of the earlier, I gotta get a little closer here probably. One of the earlier things we did was Jess was getting ready to start a TikTok channel. And we always joked about her love of books and things like that. And so I gave her the title, or I suggested the title of Shelf Indulgence.
Yes.
For her channel. And we were talking, we would joke back and forth quite a bit and just kind of have fun with each other. And we saw each other walk on, and then you kind of ran around and were very squeeful.
Yeah, that's a thing I do.
Yeah, I saw her every once in a while walk on. We hugged a few times, and we had dinner together at the one
as event. Part of a group, yeah.
Yeah, and just had a great time seeing each other. And then a couple of weeks afterwards, I gave you a suggestion for a TikTok, which happened from time to time. And and then we suddenly realized that we had been talking for, I think, 3 days after that suggestion, and then we're like, wait a second, what's going on here? Because we just kept talking on Discord. In fact, we think we have employed several members of the Discord service from the amount of messages that we've done long distance. And they might have been fired at this point because we moved in together.
Right, and now there's no Discord traffic. But yeah, we were on the phone with each other via message or Discord or on the phone for hours every day. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it only made sense for us to move in together to save on, you know, all of that commuting time, communicating yes. time, rather.
Yeah.
I mean, that's perfect. So now that we've got to the move-in stage and we've gotten some Discord employees, you know, unemployed because they no longer have a job. Like, yeah. Sorry to them. Yeah. You sound like you feel bad. Coco is just going crazy in the background. I love that.
She just needs to let some of the wild out. Pay no attention, you know?
The squeeful dog.
Yes.
So, and I remember seeing I remember finding out about you two getting together after WattCon, but I didn't realize, Dan, that you were the person who came up with the shelf indulgence.
Yeah.
It's a great pun, and I love that. I mean, literally yesterday, day before maybe, I sent a photo of a t-shirt that Kayla wears, which says, touch your shelf, and it's a shelf on the t-shirt. And I was like, I need to send that to Jess because of that name, and it killed me. It was hilarious.
It was about shelfies and shelf control and as many puns as we could get into it.
Yeah. And that's not, you know, he is called the idea guy because of things like that. He sent me many suggestions for TikToks. Especially in those first few months. I haven't been as prevalent on TikTok lately, but yeah.
You've been busy.
Just a little distracted.
A little distracted, yeah. Dan, it sounds like you need to be on TikTok yourself, apparently.
No. I'm the power behind the throne, or you know, whatever you want to call me. So
sure.
the echo behind the squee, maybe we should say.
Yes, I will take that. I like to call myself the squeen consort.
The Squeen consort. Okay, I like this. How do you feel about that, Jess?
I mean, it's hilarious. It just keeps getting funnier every time.
Amazing. So, you guys you've moved states because Dan, you lived in Ohio.
Well, Ohio. I lived in Columbus. I lived like 10 minutes away from Waukon.
Right. So you've moved states. Like we previously said, we've got Discord folks now unemployed. But at what stage, Dan, did you think, you know, I need to propose? Or was it like how did the conversation come about? Was it a mutual thing? Did Jess turn around to you and be like, when are you proposing? Like, how did that come to be, Dan?
I knew pretty soon that if it all worked out, if it kept going the way it was, that it was gonna head that way pretty fast. She knew it was gonna head that way pretty fast too. We were pretty open about it, like, hey, let's wait 5-6 months if we can, you know, after we move in, see how things go. Because moving in together, that's a thing that's not easy for a lot of relationships. You know, it can damage a lot of even solid relationships. Mm-hmm. It suddenly changes things. So we wanted to see. And so I was aiming for January, February. And as we got closer and closer, I was like, no, I'm not going to be able to wait that long. And she had told me she was going to say yes whenever I asked. So that wasn't a problem. Mm-hmm. It was just getting everything ready. So.
Yeah. And then let's not discount my complete 180, which there was a point where I was like, don't you dare ask me before we've lived together for a year and had our first fight.
Yeah.
And probably in the course of 2 to 3 months, I was like, well, obviously, if you ask me, I'm going to say yes. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And I did put one rule on it because we had discussed it, that the whole proposal. I said, my one rule is you can't make me cry in front of Matt Hatch.
That was a joke in our chat history. We weren't even officially dating yet.
That's true.
We hadn't even, we hadn't even had our first rendezvous. And he thought he was being cute, which he often does, and just drops in chat and says, I have something I have to tell you. And, you know, dots. And I'm sitting there thinking somebody's died on the other end. And he goes, you can't propose to me in front of Matt Hatch and make me cry. And I was like, you're such a shit. I really thought there was something wrong.
Well, that was right after WalkCon when that couple proposed on the stage. And yes. It's like, don't do that to me. I'll cry in front of Matt Hatch and I can't do that. So.
Yeah. So it's not the public part of it. It's the crying specifically in front of Matt Hatch.
Yeah, you can't cry in front of Matt Hatch. That's just not cool.
So any other type of public proposal was okay.
Sure.
Turns out.
Yeah, we did it in public this time. Semi-public.
Semi-public. I thought that you did a good job striking a balance between public and not, you know, skywriting or the billboard at the Bruins game or something.
Yeah.
Equally mortifying. So
no hot air balloons. Or
no
anything.
Hot air balloons.
Wait, Jess, were you concerned that that was what might happen?
I wasn't particularly concerned about skywriting. Hot air balloons has been a running joke the entire time that he's lived here, probably even a little bit before. And then, we had talked about that's our superpower, right? We talk about legitimately everything. We probably over communicate. I think it would drive other people insane, but it's what works for us. Mm-hmm. And so we've talked about, what are your thoughts? Like, is it a private thing? Is it a public thing? Do you want your friends to be part of it? Do you want it to be just you and I? And I'm like, I feel as though somewhere in between is okay. And I think we actually discussed, like, when they put the will you marry me on the billboard at games, is that a yay or a nay? And I was like, that's an absolute nay.
Yeah.
Never will I ever want you to propose to me by billboard.
But if he had, would you have said yes? And then beat him up later?
I would have said yes and then reserved the right to give him so much shit for it. Until death does us part.
Yeah.
So
I recognize that.
I like that. That's cute. So I don't want to talk about the actual proposal yet. Dan, let's talk about planning. So
yes.
Who did you approach? Like, how did you come up with the idea first? Let's start there, I suppose.
Well, we both want to do the marriage or the wedding pretty fast. I think we're talking about like a summer wedding. We both said, even before the proposal happened, we were talking about wedding ideas. So I knew pretty well that she was going to say yes. So I had an initial idea because there's a place that she goes with her friends that is a very special spot for them when the tide goes out. And they've got a boat and they love this place. I've never been yet, but they can only get to it certain times a year. So, but the problem is if I waited until then, we would have to wait a whole nother year to do the summer wedding. So I was like, okay, plan A doesn't work, but it would have been a really, really nice place because it's one of her favorite spots. So I said, okay, let's take a step back. And I said, well, she loves books. Books is what brought us together. We both love to read. Books is kind of our, our common Venn diagram kind of thing, well, among many things. Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's the thing that really brought us together was love of books. And love of Wheel of Time was a big component of that. And so I said, let's kind of think of ideas. And I kind of came with this idea for a scavenger hunt. So I did a book scavenger hunt kind of thing. And we'll get into the details. But basically at that point, I was like, well, I've got to get her to the bookstore. That's going to be the hardest part and have her not get confused. So I contacted Baden Chiad and Honest. And so because they live here in Boston, we get together once a month for like what we call Brunch Con. Mm-hmm. They invited me into that now. It's where I'm part of their threesome became a foursome.
It's because you're one of us, Dan. That's why. You're not an outsider. You're one of us. That's why you're included.
That's fair. Thank you. That's fair. It was their three thing, but now it's become a four thing. So I said, okay, great. So I know they're close. They're both about an hour and a half away at most. And I said, hey, okay, so here's what we're going to do is we're going to do this scavenger hunt in a bookstore, and I'm going to propose in the bookstore at the end of it. But let's find like a cool Boston bookstore. So we spent probably 2 months between the three of us looking for a good spot. But the problem is all of these really cool little bookstores are just that. They're little. And you don't – they're amazing little spots. But for a scavenger hunt, it's almost like the one I was looking at here in New Hampshire was beautiful. It was a really cool little spot. But it was a house. It was one room. And it was like you basically would have spun around and done three clues just in one circle. So I had to find a bigger, more corporate bookstore to do that. So we were working together for a long time, and we finally decided to just go ahead and find a spot that I worked with here closer. And then we were going to do dinner. So we were going to like, okay, I'm going to get dinner with her friends afterwards, have that be part of the surprise. And then so we were coordinating dinners. So Bain and Shiad and Honest were a big part of it early on. Matt, you kind of came in at Rob, you came in at a certain point, and you were a big help as well. You were helping me kind of talk about a few things. We actually got you and I kind of talked early on about Dr. Livingston doing a note, and so we were trying to find his information. And I actually worked with Brian the Gleeman. And he actually got me the email for Dr. Livingston. And so I contacted him directly. And so there was a note on a bookmark for her waiting there because she loves Dr. Livingston.
Obviously. A completely normal amount.
Yeah.
Nothing to be worried about. Yes. Yeah,
totally. So that was a part of it. So you helped and Brian helped with that. And then I also brought in Leia. She was always willing to help a lot, any chance she could. And she was amazing. And we were talking about how we're going to do the bookmarks. I'm like, I can get them printed. I can do that. But I'm like, wow, it'd be really cool to do something more permanent, more memorable to display. And she came up with an idea of Trian. And I think, is she in Norway? Is that correct?
Yeah, Trian lives in Norway, yeah.
Trian is in Norway. Yeah. So we got a hold of Trian, and she was amazing about it. She said, you know, I want to help you with this. And so we worked on designs for a couple of months. And got that all done, and she shipped it over to Bain and Shiad, and because I couldn't have it sent here because there's a chance that Jessica would see it. So for a little while we were working on designs of that as well. So I would say it would be Brian, you, Honest,
Bain and Shiad,
and Trian. And as I said in the beginning, this fandom never ceases to amaze in their ability to just step together and do stuff for each other.
I mean, these are beautiful.
And she did an amazing job on these, and they're just gorgeous. Yeah. Just gorgeous.
Yeah, they are. Folks, obviously you can't see, but Jess has just sort of fanned them out for me. I've seen pictures. This is the first time I've seen them on like a video feed or something. There's seven different bookmarks. They're all different colors.
Yeah.
All different colors. There's like little leather tags in them, and they're all embossed with the different messages.
I'm gonna get like a shadow box to. There's a craft person I'm gonna reach out to see if I can get like a display so that I can have them in order and have them displayed, and then they'll get a place of pride on my shelf.
Wow. I love
so
that.
Each one has an icon based on what it is, and then there's a written out clue on it as well. So yeah, just blew me away. I didn't get to see him in person until the night of the event. I had seen pictures.
Oh, you just in the picture. You hadn't even got to actually see them.
So the picture I shared with you was all I knew too. I'm like, they look beautiful. Mm-hmm. And of course, Bain and Shiad was like, no, they're amazing. And it's like, and when we got there, she handed me the first one, and then I handed her a special thing for the whole event too. So, So it all came together, and never ceases to amaze me how amazing people are.
I love this. So, I mean, from what it was funny because Jess would message me about stuff and you've messaged me about, I think when you went to pick the ring or something, or you were looking at rings, like you're messaging me and Jess is messaging me. And I'm obviously, I know at this stage that you're planning the proposal for, you know, an estimated time that wasn't a specific time at that point. And then Jess messages me like a couple of weeks later about like trips to conventions and you coming out to Prague next year for MercuryCon and things like that. So I was playing this fun balancing act of like, you know, I would message you just
to be, you know, several people were, Rob.
Yeah. I would like reply to you as if I knew nothing. And then I message out and be like, Jess just said this to me. So
it was a normal thing. Yes.
Yes. He had spies everywhere. He did an excellent job. Yes.
Yeah.
Loving spies.
I'm glad everyone else was playing the same game as me, because it's very entertaining being one of those people. You know, I wish I could have done more, but it was fun doing what I could do to support. But as from what I knew of last night, it was a case of you were meeting Grace and Anna's for dinner.
Yeah.
But like, how did meeting them for dinner become getting to the bookstore? Like, Jess, how did you end up at the bookstore? Like, did you suspect anything? What was like the plan? Because you over-communicate. So how did he hide it is what I'm curious about.
So he did a really good job hiding it, honestly. I will say that I had made an offhand comment to my coworker, my work BFF, Darren. We had an on-site meeting last week for our holiday. We only go on-site once a quarter or whatever. And so we were there, and very snarkily, I said, well, just so you know, I think that I'm getting engaged this weekend, because he wants to go out to dinner and, you know, he wants to go. He asked me what my favorite restaurant is, look nice, meet friends. So I think this weekend is it.
But I got it to where Grace and Honest came up with the idea for dinner. Right. I didn't actually set up the dinner.
Right. But in terms, right. So, but in turn, and also the fact that he had said he would he would book the reservation, because I almost always do that. So that kind of sparked my radar a little bit. Obviously, I knew that a ring had been purchased and that plans were happening and coming along. But I had promised to not pry, right? Like, I wanted it to be a surprise. I didn't want to ruin anything, because I knew he was working so hard.
You were amazing about that. That made it easier. You don't understand how much easier it was that you were good about that.
Yeah, I didn't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
So ultimately, the premise was that Grace and Honest, if anybody knows them, they're incredible human beings, but they're terribly, terribly hard to shop for. Mm-hmm. And so the premise was, if we take you to a bookstore, you pick a book that you want, and I can buy it for you. And that's our holiday gift exchange. Which I was so, so excited about, because they're terrible to shop for.
They are. They really are. You're right.
They're very hard to shop for.
And they enjoy it.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah.
Like, Grace is still listening, right? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Grace is listening.
Totally
live
still
right
listening.
Yeah.
For the record, we still left without buying them any books.
Yes.
So, and still, I came home with more books than I left with. And so they still got their own way.
That's perfect. That is so
but
cool.
Anyways, that was the premise, to go to the bookstore, and then we'll go and we'll have our dinner afterwards. That was the premise that it was given to me, which I took hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. To the point where when we were driving over to the bookstore, I was like, maybe I've built this weekend up a little too much in my head, and this really is just, you know, our holiday get together with our friends, which is completely fine if that's the case. It wasn't until I turned around and he was like holding a bag that I was like, what's happening here? And at one point he gave me my second clue, and I still didn't know. I thought that like, that was just the end of the gift. And he's like, do you need help? I'm like, I don't know. Do I need help? Turns out, yes, I needed help. Spoilers.
I mean, sometimes clues in the moment you're trying to solve them. It's, you know,
but she didn't know they were clues. That's where I failed, is that the second one she took as a present, because it looked so beautiful.
You walked away engaged. You did not fail.
That's true.
Okay.
Like, very good point.
Yeah. Yeah, let's set the bar appropriately. Like, yeah. No, I was just a little dense, and I do, being the squeeful girl that I am, when my squee meter gets too high, I really do kind of fade out just a little bit and get a little overwhelmed. And so I was overwhelmed in a very good way.
So when did you realize it was more than just buying books for friends?
Yes, this is one of my favorite moments.
So when I came around the corner to get the second clue, and I saw my best friend Meredith standing there. I said an expletive, and I almost started free flow crying. And that's when I was like, "Oh, this is a thing. Mm-hmm. This isn't just Grace and Honest. This is a thing." But I still had no idea about dinner. You know, even as we got through the clues, I heard from a couple of different people that I solved the clues faster. You know, the whole experience at the bookstore went faster than expected. And that was fine. And that was lovely. But I was like, I could really use a glass of wine now to, you know, settle my nerves a little bit. And so then we were headed off to dinner, which was as big a surprise, if not bigger.
Yeah, so her best friend, I kind of handed off the dinner planning to her. And that was another difficulty as well, because we couldn't get a big enough reservation. It was for 14 people. Mm-hmm. It was like some of her closest friends and work friend and her son and his partner and things like that. So it was a lot of work to get this figured out.
And lots of herding cats.
Yes. And restaurants that didn't want to take reservations online and things. So
yeah, and it turns out my favorite restaurant from 2019 does not have the same menu or seating capacity that it did 4 years ago.
Oh.
But we got there.
And then, of course, you know, the trials and tribulation of parking in downtown Portsmouth was a real challenge for a lot of my people who showed up for me. So once we were all there, it was lovely, but there were challenges for folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, you two are worth the challenges. So, you know, like if I could have been on a plane and at that bookstore, I absolutely would have been there.
Absolutely.
Like, even if it meant flying out this morning or something stupid, yeah. Like, yeah. You know, if I'd had to stay up all night, like if I could have done it, I would have been there. Like, you two are worth this. You're awesome people. So, you know, yeah. Don't worry about people overcoming challenges, Jess. It's, you know,
okay. You're worth it.
Okay.
Yes. So,
It was a lot of fun because I was able to do kind of leapfrog the clues. So her friend Meredith was involved and Grace was involved and Yannis was involved. So they could all kind of be there in the moment when the clue was done, and then they could go on to their next one. Because we were worried about not somebody maliciously grabbing the book, but like accidentally grabbing the book. Like if we placed it ahead of time, like an hour ahead of time, there's a chance somebody could come buy that book with that bookmark in it. That so we true. Decided to, like, in the moment, like, leapfrog to the next one and just stay there with the clue. Mm-hmm. So okay. It was fun. Also, as you approached, you knew you were getting close because one of us was there. Yes,
exactly.
So,
I mean, having someone there you recognize in a bookstore, I'm sure that kind of that helped a little bit. You
absolutely.
Know? So let's talk the clues. Like, tell us, Dan, tell us, like, what the clues were and like what they led to. Let's go, I suppose, step by step through the actual okay. scavenger hunt, I suppose.
So I hadn't seen the clues yet, and she handed me the first one. So Grace's job was to hand me the first one while Honest was distracting Jess with a long hook was the plan. And so that worked. And so she handed me the first clue, and I handed her a sun catcher of a hot air balloon, because it's been a running joke as part of the proposal, and I'll explain that story. Well, she's got the snowman. So I'll explain the hot air balloon thing at the end of this. And so I handed Grace that because she was going to place it with the last book. And so we did the swap, and she turned around, and I had planned everything up until that point meticulously in my mind, except I didn't realize how I was going to start it. I was like, I kind of froze. I froze for like a couple seconds, like, and this is happening. And I just handed her the first one.
So we were both surprised in that moment.
I was like,
brilliant. It was brilliant.
I was like, what do I say? Yeah, this is happening. So the first one is, you gave the right answer about the author of this book on our first trivia night. And we had a trivia game with your friend from work and his friend. And you took a second to remember it, but it was, what was it?
John Steinbeck of Mice and Men.
Okay.
So we went to the first one, and you found it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Quicker than I did, because I went and I did, like, surveillance shots so I could send it to the people that were placing the clues. I'm like, this is the shelf. This is where it is. This is where it is in the store. It took me forever to find that book.
So I will say that this is my local Barnes & Noble. So, for example, when the series came out, I went and I bought the mass market large paperbacks at this Barnes & Noble. I'm familiar with this Barnes & Noble.
You've touched those shelves a few times.
Yes, I have.
Just a few times. But Of Mice and Men was really tough. But I told him, I said, one of the things I said, okay, to make this quicker and easier, put the bookmark in the inside the front cover and hang the leather tassel out to make it more visible. And
Which definitely helped.
It helped a lot. Otherwise, we would have been going a long time. So that one had in it this one, which I think is one of my favorites, and it just says, "But are there dragons?" Which is
a podcast that I do with Critter, where we're doing a first-time reader, where we go through a book that one of us hasn't read a few chapters at a time, and we just closed on reading The Hobbit.
Which is a glorious book.
It is a glorious book.
I love this one. This is one of my favorites.
But this is the one that tripped me up, because I was like, I thought this was the gift. I was like, oh, thank you. And that's when he's like, do you need help? I'm like, I don't know.
Do I?
So he's taking me over to the fantasy section. And that's when I was like, oh, the book, The Hobbit. Okay, this is a clue.
Now, you see, funnily enough, I saw that when I saw the image of the bookmarks, even before they were made, actually, I saw that clue and I instantly thought, oh, okay. So the next clue is inside a copy of The Hobbit. I thought that straight away. So,
very nice.
but you also weren't in the moment and getting proposed to.
Yeah. And I was about to back
my
it up.
IQ drops significantly when I'm challenged in any way.
It really does, doesn't it? Just like, I can empathize with you. I've been there. You're just like, what, yeah. What?
Huh?
Yeah, like the brain is not moving, so you know.
No.
I have to focus on breathing and walking.
Yeah. So exactly. When I got to The Hobbit,
you want to read that one?
Yeah. When I got to The Hobbit, there is this beautiful reddish one that says Coco sends her love, and this one may help with her. And this made me a little teary because, you know, Coco is basically our baby at this point. So I was like, okay, well, one that would help with her would be a pet help book. And that was kind of a pain in the tush because I had never looked for a pet help book in this bookstore.
And it's tucked in the corner. So I had to get her there. I'm like, I'm going to show you where this is.
Yeah.
Because this one took me forever. I had to ask somebody when I was setting this all up. I'm like, where's your pet section?
Yeah.
And it was tucked in a corner.
And as we're going through, he's keeping every book. So as we're pulling the books...
Did you realize I was doing that?
No, I think I asked you three times. I kept trying to put it back and you kept taking it off the shelf. And you're like, no, we're keeping those. Oh, okay. How about we do this 2-3 more times before I actually catch on?
The brain freeze is real. The brain freeze
it's
is real.
It's folks. So real.
Like, you know.
You want to do this one?
No, go ahead.
So that one, she found one, I think it's like What Dogs Want or
something
what,
like that.
So I can't remember what it was called, but it's one I picked that I wanted her to get. So it might help us. You never know.
It's down there.
Down there. And this one had a symbol of SPQR, and it says, this proves that I think about this place and time at least once a day like any other man I know. And the recent thing with the TikTok of the Roman Empire being on every man's mind. So that led you to...
I immediately knew it was a Roman Empire, and I was like, so we need ancient history, I guess? There was part of me that was like, is there going to be a Livingston tie-in? Because... of the Livingston connection, but there was a book on Roman history that I found once I found the right part of the ancient history section.
Which I do want to read, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, we brought them all with us.
Actually, one of my plans was to do a Livingston book, but when I got there, I was looking for Agincourt, which is one of his recent ones. And I'm like, oh, that'd be perfect. You know, you love Livingston stuff. I just couldn't find it. And I'm like, I don't know if they didn't have it at the moment or stuff, but I didn't want to risk it. So I went more broad and just said, okay, let's go with this Roman clue, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that one went to the hardest.
Yes. Then this bookmark is, this might help you speak to people during our honeymoon. So we had basically planned the next 15 months out because we're planners. And so we decided that we would like to do a Mediterranean cruise or at least a Mediterranean trip. Probably focused on Italy primarily. And we'll be doing that in spring 2025. So I was like, okay, so it must be a book to help you learn Italian or learn about Italy. Right. So then I went off in search of the section for travel.
And
found a book about Italy. It was right there. They did a great job teeing it up for me.
And then that one brought two to.
And this is where it gets sentimental. So then it says, this is the one that brought us together with a lovely Aurora Borealis signet. Yeah, you know, I could probably try to drop pictures into the chat if folks want to see them. It's just gorgeous work by Trian.
Cool.
And
every single one of these.
This is the one that brought us together. It was clearly Wheel of Time, and I knew exactly where the Wheel of Time section was, so I basically just booked it over there. And sure enough, there's a copy of The Eye of the World, and it had the last clue in it with a nice emblem of a ring. And it said, do you want to finish our life story together? And I turned around and he was down on one knee.
Aww. And obviously you said yes.
I said yes, please.
Yes, please.
Yes, yes, please. Aww. I love that.
So that one actually also had I had a sun catcher ornament style of a hot air balloon. It had been a running joke between us because I'm sarcastic and annoying.
We both are sarcastic.
So I made a joke at one point about doing it with a hot air balloon, you know, like doing the proposal with a hot air balloon. And she hates that idea. And I hate it. I'm like, it's a wooden box in the sky with fire and no seatbelts. I'm like, why would you want to?
I've never heard it described that way, but now that you've said it. That's
you can't unsee it now, can you?
So neither of us wanted to do it, but I just kept the joke going. And it was a long time. I mean, we were joking about proposal for a long time, just as a joke. Mm-hmm. And before I left Ohio, I was driving somewhere. I think I was driving back from my parents when I was visiting them or something. And I saw three hot air balloons in the sky, and it immediately made me think of her. And so I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep this joke going ad nauseum and annoy you the entire time, but with the concept of now, even though none of us want to get on one, every time you see a hot air balloon, you're going to think of us. And I think that's a beautiful idea.
That is beautiful.
And so this sun catcher hot air balloon ornament was sitting right in front of the Eye of the World.
Aww. And what did
and
you think?
It's on our tree.
It's on your tree. Oh, that's beautiful.
I thought, bastard, he found a way.
I love that. That's great.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I figured.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I would as well. Yeah, definitely. So,
yeah.
So,
all joking aside, it was incredibly romantic. There's a couple of pictures that folks got of us with, you know, the fantasy thing right behind our heads, and I didn't even realize how perfect it was. You know, just bookstore is absolutely the right call in the fantasy section. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's where he proposed. It was just very perfect.
I agree. Did the bookstore know that you were doing this, Dan?
Yeah, I went to him when I was doing the pre-photos, like to get everything planned. I was like, okay, this is probably the time I need to go check with them. And I said, okay, so I went up to customer service, and the manager was the one that was at customer service, like the little kiosk. And it was a Barnes & Noble. If anybody's been in one of those, they're big and spread out. So it's perfect for what I wanted. And I just filled her in on what she wants. She said, that's perfect. You know, we'll get our social media team in. They'll do some pictures. They'll do some video. I'm like, I don't mind. Just give us some space during the actual proposal. I don't want you like right over my shoulder, like documentary style. But
right.
They said, no, it's not a problem. They said, we just ask you not to be too crazy. I'm like, every person that's involved loves books. Nobody is going to be crazy or ripping anything up or running around. It's not going to happen. We're in our 40s.
Yeah,
you know, no. We don't do that stuff.
We are not those people.
I've never been that person, but, you know, definitely not now. I don't want to blow a hammy or something, but she was all for it. And it actually, the second time I talked to her, she gave me her contact information. I emailed her. And the second time I went in to talk to her just to make sure about timing, she's like, oh, that's my birthday, when I locked down the date. We get there and I asked Grace and Honest and her friend Meredith, I said, you're going to be there first. Get with this person. Here's the name. Here's the contact. Let them know. And they get there and she's not there. So they missed their chance to put it on social media. And so it was actually kind of nice because it was just a really, even in the moment, there was two other people there that they may not even know what we were doing. Mm-hmm. I think they were just looking at books, and I just got down on my knee real quick and we asked and hugged and kissed and took pictures. I don't think anybody else even really knew what we were doing. So,
and that's okay.
It was nice that way.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's like just a little moment with you and the people that were there helping, And then, you know, it's done. And then, of course, we start throwing it in the Discord servers and we're all squeeing over you. And you're like,
I honestly, I looked at Grace and I said, you know, I don't even know who to notify. I'm like, can I just ask you to just put something somewhere so that
I trust you to pick the right picture.
And you can, I totally trust you to pick a picture. And she graciously did that, which I'll be forever grateful. So, and I dropped a picture on my story on Facebook and I was like, now I still have to go dinner. I thought dinner was going to be a chance to exhale. That is not what that worked out to be at all. But I was like, I fully knew that there was no way I was going to be able to do that while I was at dinner. So I was like, I will put it out here. If people notice it, great. If not, then I will worry about, you know, making notifications tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fair. And so dinner was so much more than you expected as well, because you thought it was dinner with Grace and Alice, and now Meredith is there and other people. So like, what was dinner like?
Dinner was chaos. So we went into the wrong entrance. So I've told them all that this is my favorite restaurant in downtown Portsmouth, which at the time it was, but I've been there exactly one time. We go in the wrong entrance. We go upstairs. We get told to go downstairs. We get told to go back upstairs. Then finally get told to go downstairs in the elevator and press W. So we finally get to whoever is working the host station that we're supposed to speak to, and they don't have a reservation under Wilson, which I don't understand. And I'm like, it should be Wilson for four people. And I hear he pipes up behind me. He's like, no, there's a bunch of us. I was like, what?
There's a little bit of warning. I wanted to give you a little bit of warning.
Yeah. So the walk from the podium to the table was my warning.
Better than Meredith wanted to give you.
Yeah.
Or the Meredith was just like walk to the table and then
yes.
she's a little savage. There's a reason why we're friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got there and Meredith and her husband Matt were there. My other good friends, Jennifer, Emily, Grace and Honest were still trying to find parking. Darren was still trying to find parking apparently. And my dear friend Tammy from high school, Tammy and her partner Dennis were already there. And so I was just blown away that he had gone to the trouble to get all of these people. And it was the first time that Grace and Honest got to meet more of my IRL circle. We've kind of joked about how great it would be to kind of smush more of my fandom friends with my IRL people because they're pretty different.
Yeah.
So it was pretty wild, and I just welled up with gratitude to have so many people that I love in one place. I do that. I'm a big mushmallow when it comes to that sort of thing. And I immediately demanded vodka.
I can believe that because there was a Zoom call later on last night. I was hanging around. I wasn't sure if there'd be I wasn't sure what was happening. I knew there was a dinner, so I was like, okay, so it'd be like later on, and would there be a Zoom call? Would there not be? I wasn't sure what was happening, so I was like hanging around as much as I could, just in case if someone was like, hop on a Zoom, and I'd be like, I'm there. But it obviously got very, very late, which is totally, I mean, it's your day. Like, you know, that's all that matters. But I woke up to like message from Brian. I'm like, oh, I was asleep by this stage. It's fine. I know they're on the podcast with me tonight. It's wonderful.
And then first message this morning was to Brian and Teresa. And I am so sorry. I clearly was feeling very celebratory.
Celebratory is a good word.
And thank you for participating in Drunken Story Time with Jessica.
That you told me that I would get, how did you describe it? I forget now. I need to look. You described it like I would get the sensible version or something.
I'm sure something like that.
Yes.
As sensible as I get, at least.
Brian and Teresa got drunk Jess story time last night. You'll get something more presentable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cute. I'm glad that you were so celebratory. You should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
You both should be, you know? So, yeah. But it feels good to be, this part is done now, Dan.
Yes. I was telling somebody last night about it, that it's been so difficult because she's my person to talk to. Mm-hmm. And it's like anything going on in my life, she's the first one that I'm like, hey, this went well. This didn't go well. This, I'm frustrated. This is taking too long. This went really well. This is going to be done. So all I could do is give vague clues like, okay, I'm waiting on something. You know, I don't want to give you an idea of how close I am, but it's frustrating because it's like I wanted to tell her about everything. And this is the biggest thing in my life for a while. And it's like I want to tell you and I can't. So we've spent today going through all the messages and the conversations that I had with everybody. So she's read everything now. So she knows the whole behind the scenes.
So I had told him the only way that I can be cool. So I am not as good at secrets as our lights work friends. I am not as good at secrets as they are. And so the only reason I could be so cool about him having a secret was that I made him promise that I wanted a full debrief afterwards. I want to know who knew what, when. I want all the dirt, every twist. I want the whole shebang because of the FOMO that I get. Because one, I absolutely never in a million years wanted to ruin the surprise. But I do have FOMO not being able to be part of the trip. So he did a really good job navigating that. So we spent a lot of today just going through messages from the last 2 months of all the stuff that he's been up to.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
There's the debriefing. As Grace has just put in chat, the debrief is essential, you know, because you're included. Yeah. So now it's just the actual wedding, which I feel like you've kind of already, you had like a date basically in mind or near enough, didn't you, Jess? Like,
we're planners.
Yeah.
You know, again, we're trying to shoehorn it all in. It really started with, or I shouldn't, our planning, our mutual planning together, not necessarily his planning. I think his planning had already started for his proposal. Mm-hmm. But our planning started with a founder's email that came from you announcing MalkyrieCon dates and confirming that it would be in Prague this year, which prompted me to either call downstairs to him and have him come up or him just to come upstairs and us to essentially outline what do we think the next 15 months will look like. Holy smokes, we have a lot we're going to try to do. Do we think it's actually feasible to do all of these things? And what would that look like? So, yeah, I mean, yes, I have a tentative date that I'm working with because I'm basically going to try to plan a wedding in 6 months.
I mean, if anyone can achieve that, I believe the two of you can achieve that. No, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the reality is what I have wanted and he wants too, is essentially a backyard affair. You know, I'm talking about, you know, beer and wine in coolers and a food truck and somebody with an iPod and some speakers.
And a hot air balloon.
And a hot air balloon. Yeah. No, that's done. That's done. It's a box in the
I'm pretty sure
fire.
We can't afford that. So it's fine. I don't have to worry about it.
I mean, I just feel like someone out there who, you know, might be listening at some point.
Somebody
knows someone who needs to contact all your friends so all of your wedding gifts are hot air balloon themed.
So funny you mentioned that.
Oh god, what have I done?
So we're gonna ask folks that if they feel so inclined to do a gift to donate to the honeymoon.
I mean, that's wonderful.
We're in our mid-40s. We don't need a bread maker. We don't need a gravy boat. We're not setting up a house. We've actually been spending the last year getting rid of stuff, you know, because we're combining households. And it's like, we don't need to build any of that stuff. So
I mean, and the other piece of that is, realistically, you alluded to this earlier, we're going to have basically three different receptions.
Yes.
Because for us, the important thing is getting to see everybody in whatever way they can. So the reality is we won't be able to invite everybody to New England, right? But we'll do, you know, we're looking for the end of June is the tentative date that I've set for us. We'd like to do like a pre-wedding party or an engagement party at JordanCon so that anybody who's already planning on attending JordanCon that wants to celebrate with us can do that while they're there. We're going to do something similar at WalkCon, which will be post-wedding and also a separate, like informal reception for a lot of his friends and family who are based in Ohio, who aren't going to be able to make the trek to New England, even if we did invite everybody. But if we invited everybody, it would be like 300 people.
Yeah.
And that's not practical.
American weddings are always big. From, I've only been to two so far, but you know, you see them on movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. They're always big affairs. I've been to a couple, they're big affairs. Like, I can believe that it would be 300 people. So
yeah,
I mean, you spread them out, it makes sense. So just tell me what I need to book in Prague. Mm-hmm. And you know, we'll have Guy Roberts turn up. I'll make him bring Jess. You know, we'll have some folks.
That's true. Yeah. Malkyriecon Prague will be the European contingent.
Mm-hmm. True.
Reception. We're also treating Prague as our pre-honeymoon. So
I love that.
We're doing a few extra days on either end so that we can do some sightseeing and take a little bit of a deep breath.
So our party in Prague will be different. We will not be asking for help with the honeymoon. We will be asking for spoilers for whatever the next season is, or any behind the scenes that can be set up. So we're flexible like that. We're givers. We understand, you know, that we want to make it a little easier.
Yeah. I'll make sure folks are aware of this. We'll put it in the, as part of the reception process. Sorry.
Who can turn down a couple that just got married? I mean, come on. Yeah,
absolutely. You know,
especially us. We're incredibly charming.
Obviously,
you are both very, very charming. So potentially anyone who's doing all the conventions can see you and celebrate your wedding or engagement, depending on timing, three times next year.
If they want. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, you can come to as many as you want.
I mean, try to stop me.
True.
So there are a few people that I know that are planning on going to all three. And so the conversation has been, you know, this is not, nothing is required of anybody. Ultimately, we just, if anybody wants to actually celebrate with us, we want you to have that opportunity. And the easiest way to do that was to celebrate at things that you're hopefully were planning on attending anyways.
Yeah. And we know so many of our, we have several friends that can make JordanCon but can't make WonCon, and, mm-hmm. and a couple that can make WonCon but can't make JordanCon. So we wanted to give that open, you know, opportunity for, mm-hmm. for those people to be like, okay, they only have one shot at this. So we want to give them that shot.
And the European contingent, which is a whole new realm for us because we haven't been able to make it to MCon yet. So we're really excited.
Yeah, I love that you're coming. You messaged me like, so I think I just got the notification you'd bought tickets or something. And then you messaged me because I was sitting there. I got the notification on my phone. I was just like, oh my God, Jess just bought tickets. And then you sent me a message and was like, so we're coming to Prague or something to that effect. And I was just like, oh, this is amazing. And then the whole spiel of, you know, the wedding and three receptions and going to Italy next, you know, the year after. And that just all sort of stemmed from there. And I don't think I've been that fuzzy for a while. And so I'm just like, this is so wonderful. I was so, so happy. I've just realized as we're going, we've totally bypassed the Michael Livingston note.
Oh, yes.
I think it's a good.
So where in the scavenger hunt did the Michael Livingston note come into play?
Well, after Grace was actually the one that got it because she actually was able to see him at OGearCon.
Right.
And so I had a message, emailed him and said, you know, hey, do you mind doing this? And he was very gracious to do it. He goes, you know, have any ideas? I said, I'll just leave it up to whatever you want to say. I said, there's no pressure. And so it was one of those things of he would have to send it to me or scan it to me or something like that if he was going to send it to me. And it's like, well, she's going to be there and see him. So she was able to just have the conversation. And so he was able to hand her this in person. And so because of what it says, Grace handed it to us afterwards because I hadn't seen it yet either. I hadn't seen Grace. So it was really nice.
There's always another secret, isn't there, Grace?
Yes.
I'm trying to post this picture. My phone is literally dying.
Oh.
And Grace did a great job explaining. So there is an author, Mary Robinette, I believe is the name, mm-hmm. who modeled this character after Dr. Livingston, our Dr. Livingston. So it's a very neat little thing. And again, you know, Grace, you know, the Lights Work team doing...
The Lights Work.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Headphone disaster, folks.
And, you know, she just made sure that we got this when they were at OGearCon, and it just made my day.
Do you feel comfortable reading?
Yes. Oh, sure. Daniel and Jess, the very best of wishes to you both. Squeeze, Michael Livingston. Aww. Yeah. So the first time Michael Livingston said squee on a stream, the first OGearCon, I lost my mind.
Then he did it at WalkCon.
And yeah, basically, I just lose my mind every time.
I mean, you are Jessica Squeedie. Like, you are the queen of squee.
I am. I'm also the vice president of the fan club, so.
Right. That's fair. So, if you're the queen of squee, now this question just popped into my head, and you're engaged now. What is, like, is Dan going to become the king of squee?
No, I'm never the king. I will be there to support you. I am the queen. I am the squeen consort. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I will be two steps behind and deferential in public.
Two squeeze behind.
I mean, not for nothing.
Two squeeze behind. Exactly.
He's been cracking himself up with that joke since we started dating.
Yes. Yes. It works.
Yes.
It does work. It works so well. I love that. Oh, amazing. So, this entire story is wonderful. I'm so glad that the pattern worked out that you happened to be joining me tonight for this. Coco in the background has just been hilarious the entire recording so far.
Well, she doesn't think so, but yes.
Yeah, that's fair. Obviously, you've got Italy left after everything. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, we're just going to keep it quiet after that, or are we going to have more surprises? Because that's a lot to do in 15 months, guys.
It is a lot to do. I mean,
we didn't list everything.
We didn't. You know, in the meantime, April is Jordan. I'm supposed to go on a girls' weekend in March. We have a lovely engagement present from the Lightswork team to go to a show at the end of March, right before everything really kicks off, which is adorable.
In the Boston area.
In the Boston area, yep. And then we have, you know, JordanCon in the end of April, which will also pair nicely with getting to meet his new grandniece.
Yes, my nephew.
His nephew and his wife had their first baby, who we haven't met yet. Aww. So that's April.
But they live in Atlanta.
And they're in Atlanta, so we'll do that in April. And then in May, we're going to be, hopefully, everybody cross all of your digits, buying a house and moving. And then June, getting married. July, WalkCon. September, we took August off, you know.
Yeah,
and right, then September.
Because we're not crazy.
Prague. You know, so I would say by spring of 2025, the hope is that we're just living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, squeeze not all, just getting it done and dusted, all the big occasions, you know, out the way. But that is a huge amount to achieve in a year. So, if I can help, make sure to reach out, especially with Prague stuff.
Yes.
You know, anything to do with that, or even just things, you know, to do with like going around Italy, whatever, make sure you reach out. I'm sure lots of people will be thinking likewise. We will help you however you can. I don't know movers, but you know, if I live close enough, I would help you move as well, type thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, we'll get some beer to come over and help beer pizza, and you can just help move, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've got to move in February myself. It's a pain.
I know. Are you going to try and stay in Manchester?
We have to, because Kayla goes to university in Manchester.
Okay. I'll be thinking of you in February.
I'm so, thank you. I'm so excited about this entire year. I'm hoping that I can make it to everything, to party with you. Thank you for hopping on tonight.
Well, thanks for having us.
Sharing it all. Like we said at the beginning, I booked this a couple months ago. I think I'd asked you for something like really quick. I was like, oh, I've got a space in like 2.5 weeks. After that, I'm kind of booked up for like the next 6 after that or something. I think I was at the time kind of how the conversation went. And you were like, we'll go over December 17th. And, you know, I just love how perfectly that's worked out. It's literally the day after you became engaged.
Yeah, because you asked me, like, do you want to keep going? I'm like, no, I think it's perfect timing. We gotta stick with it. So
yeah,
that was behind the scenes. You saw it.
I definitely messaged Dan. I think this morning was it, and I was like, yesterday. I'm like,
yesterday.
I'm double. You know, I've to save myself time at the end of the New Year because I'm away. I've double booked to like get myself slightly ahead. So like, if you want to postpone and enjoy it, you can. But these two wonderful people, folks, they were like, no, we want to come on and hang out with you and
sure.
You know, tell all
we're
the
story. Excited.
So, I'm excited, you know, and that's a beautiful ring, folks. If you haven't seen it, and Jess, you had the sparkly nail polish lined up with it and everything.
Yeah, so that's the pattern at play. So I went and got my nails done, and
I actually suggested it.
You suggested getting my nails done for obvious reasons.
People are going to be taking pictures of your hands.
Yes, and I thought that was imminently sensible, as most things that he says are. And I was like, you know, it's the holiday season. I'd really like to feel like a present. So maybe I'll get something jazzy, because it's not my normal at all. And it just so happens that I'm a big tinsel and glitter fan. So it just kind of worked out that way. And I didn't really think about it. But yes, my silver polish goes really good with the shiny ring.
Well, glitter is the personification or the physical manifestation of
squee. Yes.
So that makes sense.
And that's why you can never really get rid of it once glitter is released into the wild.
You can't get rid of squee either.
Correct.
Yeah.
Squee can neither be created nor destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Squee is eternal. So yep. it just accumulates in larger proportions in certain places at certain times.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And surprises you from when you find it again.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I shall be practicing my Wheel of Time theme speech. For
nice.
Wherever I think is appropriate to throw it in.
I can't wait.
Yeah. I gotta work on some good puns. I don't know how I'm gonna fit hot air balloons and Wheel of Time together, but I'm gonna find a way, I think.
You have some time.
I have some time. But yeah, this has been absolutely wonderful. Folks, if you don't know Dan and Jess, you need to track them down at one of the conventions, because they are two of the most wonderful people I think I've ever met. They're both amazing hugs, like hug givers. Seriously, if you have a hug from either of them, you are just, that is pièce de résistance. they're beautiful huggers. So I always need to get my hugs in every time I see the both of them, and the two of them are just glorious together. So please, if you can find them and meet them at a convention, please do.
Absolutely.
I just can't wait to party with you multiple times next year and celebrate.
I know. It's going to be a heck of a year. It's going to be a marathon, yeah. But I wouldn't trade any of it, clearly, because I wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, and well done, Dan, for pulling off a beautiful...
A terrific surprise.
Yes.
Terrific surprise, a beautiful engagement, you know, and just... Well done, Jess, for not inquiring too much and letting the surprise happen.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. I know Jess a little bit. Yeah, I'm aware that that's a big... She needs to know, so...
Yeah, because there's some people that would not let a surprise or a secret go by, and that just adds stress, and it made a big difference.
Yeah. So, I love that. All right, folks, I hope you're having happy holidays, whatever you're up to, and glorious New Year's and that. As I say, there will be a recording next time just before New Year's to do a year in review. Have some fun. So I hope you check out that. Please go and wish Dan and Jess a happy engagement, and look out for them at conventions, like I've said, because they are wonderful. And until next time, folks, please go find yourself lots of squeeful love, water, and shade.
Thank you so much for listening to Malkia's Wrap-Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. And thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter, join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.